So they eat in the communion, they eat a token, a cracker, a wafer or something, and it's white. It's supposed to be the flesh that has passed, died to the nature of the world. So now it fits, right? They eat it, it fits. They eat that and they give it something to you too. You have a taste too. All right. So, look, the flesh can be made right by it dying to worldly sensitivities. That in the Christian terminology is human sensitivity. Because they believe that human being is by nature worldly and low. Lowly inclined, right? And they believe that the ability to separate yourself from those worldly tendencies that corrupt the human nature is the divine in you. That strength in you to do that is the divine in you. Now, we don't believe that the strength to do that is the divine in us. We believe that that's the excellence in our moral nature that Allah created us with. It's nothing divine. It's human ability. Human capacity. That allows us to separate from the contaminating things of the world and follow the will of God. Where is the comparison for it? Mutu fa ahya. Die that you may live. This is the Quran. Allah Most High says in the Quran. Die that you may live. Die to the worldly appetites. Die to the obedience of the human impulse in the world and come alive to the human impulse that has been reconciled with its basic instinct, its basic nature, or its inner aim. You see? So, now, so the life can be reconciled, and when the life is reconciled with the will of God, then that same life that was unfit to take in becomes fit. Alright? Touch me not, I have not yet ascended to God. Now here the word then must undergo this same kind of a process. The word itself must come through that same process. The human being must be separated from the influences of the world. And the word, since it has taken on the flesh of the world, it has been distorted by human sensitivity out of touch with divine will. Then the word must go under the same process. Touch me not, I have not yet ascended. And the Quran says he raised them up to himself. Is that right? He raised him up, the Prophet Jesus, he raised them up to himself. That means that God took him from the lowly things, from the accusations, from the false charges, false things that they had associated or attributed to Jesus. He raised them up from that. No, that's not to Jesus. That's not my messenger. This is my messenger on a higher plane. Right? Allah did that. But understand how these things happen. In the light of the explanation that we are given. So Jesus then addresses them finally, and it is said that a party of his followers saw him ascend into the heavens. They saw him ascend into the heavens. Now, the same New Testament also depicts Jesus as a gardener after his death. As a gardener. And he's working in the garden. In the beginning of his mission, according to the New Testament, he comes up out of water. This is the beginning of his mission. We know about the birth and all. But the beginning of his mission as a prophet, according to the New Testament, is when he came out of the water, the baptismal water, that John the Baptist was baptizing the people in. When Jesus came up out of that water, says that a dove alighted upon his shoulder. Is that right? Alighted. L-I-G-H-T-E-D, alighted upon his shoulder, right? And the voice came from heaven
saying, this is my anointed. Is that right? This is my anointed. So, here baptism, the baptismal water was necessary before he became Messiah. This is my anointed. He has been baptized. And Jesus saw this as a necessity, but John didn't see it as a necessity. He said, I'm surprised that you come to me for that to be baptized. And Jesus instructed him, do your job. Baptize me. Because he is a sign. The original nature needs no baptizing. Jesus represents something that's inherent, something that's pure in the original nature. And it needs no baptizing. So John, when he saw it, he said, you will be baptized. What is that? The Bible doesn't tell it all. If he had told it all, he would have said, John, I'm acting out a script. I am a sign. I'm acting out a script. And you have to baptize me because I really represent what happened to the Word of God. And the Word of God is impure in the world. So you have to baptize me so it'll go in the record that I, as a sign of the Word, was cleaned. Forgive me if I shout. It's not becoming of an imam to shout in the khutbah. It's not becoming. I'm trying to control myself, but if I do, forgive me. Praise be to Allah. Now this should be clear for Muslims. And no Muslim should have any problem following Prophet Muhammad.
That's right.
He is the bigger dimension. I was addressing a secret order in Chicago. I can't even think of their name now. I forgot their name. They're well known. They're very popular. And I didn't ask them to talk to them. I didn't even know them. They asked me to come and address them. And when I walked in, before I even spoke, you know what he said? He said, I'm sure you boys don't have the oil that they have in Saudi Arabia. Now, the average one of us would think they're talking about the crude oil that they refine over there. But knowing what kind of people I was visiting, I understood what he meant. When I left, he didn't talk like that.
Long, long, long.
He had a whole lot of respect when I left. And it was based on the little insight that Allah had blessed me with. Yeah. He had respect. And if he could hear me now, he might say, those boys in Arabia should come to you for some more oil. Because these are problems that they have not yet addressed in the right way. I'm on a subject right now that they have not addressed in the right way.
That's right.
And that's why many Muslims of the Muslim world still are superstitious, mystified, and the Christians and Jews and others can convert the Muslims over to their way because they have a false idea of what Jesus is in the language of the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what he is.
That's right.
So the Christians can fool them and make them feel small. Say, look, by your own confession, you all are saying that Jesus is a bigger man than Prophet Muhammad. But they can't do that to us.
That's right.
Praise be to Allah. Three verses. Look at the great revelation in just three verses. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ One verse. رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَهَّرَةً Two verses. فِيهَا كُتُبٌ قَيِّمَةً Three verses. Just three verses.
But look at that. Volumes of knowledge in those three verses.
That's right.
Actually, we've just quickly touched upon these verses. Now, if the wisdom that are in these expressed, it's expressed. It's not hidden. It's expressed. You know, once I saw a man looking for his car keys, and his car keys was in his hand. Yes, he was looking for his car keys like this. He said, where's my car key? Anybody see my car key? And when I saw it, I chuckled too, like you're doing. And then later I found out that I do the same thing. I said, anybody see my car keys? Brother, anybody see my car keys? So yes, Brother Emmanuel, you have them in your hand. I thank you very much. So you see, it can be here, but your mind is not in the right direction. This book is clearly expressed. This is not hidden here. Anybody rational, I can show them that it's here, plain as day. So it's not hidden. This book is not called the hidden book. It's called El Bayan, the clear evidence. And to bayan means explain things, make it clear. How do we know? That's how it's used in the Quran. Everything that I say, the foundation for it is in the Quran. And when Moses confronted the Jews to get them to reform, to turn back from the wrong direction they were in, they wanted signs from Moses to prove that Moses was qualified for that role that he was stepping into or claiming for himself. And they said, prove to us, show us, make it clear what you mean. As if to say, now we know what the scripture says, Moses, but we are not sure that you have that much knowledge yet. Now, you're claiming to be heavy boys like we are. All right, so God says, slaughter the cow. Tell us what it is, Moses. So what is the cow that God says for us to slaughter? Then Moses set about to identify what that cow was. And at every expression of what that cow was, until he finally said something conclusive, they said, consult your God again, Moses. We don't believe you have this heavy thing we got. Moses, go back and get some more. You're not in our ball field. And Moses came back with a second explanation. Consult your Lord, Moses, to make it clear to us what she is, what this cow is. And when he told them that it was a cow that was pampered, that it did no work, they said, that's enough, Moses. You're embarrassing us. Please don't tell no more. Don't tell no more on us. That's enough. See, Moses came to them very respectfully. And he was telling them things that wouldn't hurt them, wouldn't offend them. But since they wouldn't respond, they wouldn't recognize him, he cut him to the quick. He said, all right, I'll get a response from you. Then he described what it was. He said, look, if you tell the people this, Moses, we're in trouble. So don't tell the people that we have an elite class that deprives the people of the knowledge and that we get them to support us and we don't have to work for what we get. We just take it easy and be protected by them. We are sacred, you know, off limits to them and holy. So if you tell them that we are an oppressive thing in the society,
We be finished, Moses. We ready to kill her, Moses. Say, and they did it, even though their inclinations were not in accord with it. They went and they did what God ordered. They killed it. But it says their inclinations were not in accord with it. Meaning that they wanted, they wished that they could have kept that same thing in the world. But they couldn't because Moses had the goods on them. And they knew that if they insisted upon it, Moses was going to disclose it. He was going to make it known. And that would eventually bring the wrath of the people upon their heads. All right? So to avoid the wrath of the people, they accepted to kill that order, that cow. Now, look how terminology, look how language is affected down through the ages. Now, cow is something that's despicable almost, right? I remember people from the South, who up in the, North, call each other, call a heifer. That's an insult. You healthy old heifer, you. That's an insulting word, heifer. And cow, coward. You're cow-directed. Coward. Coward. Cow-directed, right? Okay, so that's despicable, you know. Timid, spineless person, no carriage. Coward, you see? So that's something cheap. So, what is it addressing? What is it addressing? It's addressing that same order. That people who have to hide themselves in a cloak of mystery and keep knowledge above people's head in order to rule them, they are cowards. And that's what they are. They are cowards. And any community that has to practice secrecy to survive is a coward community. And I'm talking about the scholars in Islam. I'm talking about the rabbis, and I'm talking about the so-called scholars in Christian academia. They are all nothing but cowards.
Long whack boy.
I respect Gaddafi more. At least he's got the courage to stand on what he believes. But this world, they believe that the power is in hiding what you got. Now, the evidence that they use against me to say to Brother Man, that's wrong what you're doing. You're not supposed to do what you're doing. The evidence that they use against me is from their schools of thought. From their saints, so-called saints, their sheikhs and others. Hardly will they quote the Quran, because if they quote the Quran, we will be on clear ground for argument. So they're not going to attack what I'm doing. In fact, they don't even come to me with the Sharia and the Hadith.
That's right.
But they'll go to you. They see one of you. They say, he's a bright young man. We don't want him supporting the Imam. We want him in our camp. So they'll come to you and they'll say, look, we like the Imam. He's sweet meat. We like him. He's a holy man. But he doesn't have understanding. Say, brother, let us give you the knowledge. You have to have Sharia, you have to have fiqh, you have to have this, you have to have that. And they give you a few things to charm you. But they can't charm me. See, when they give it, I see a serpent crawling. I say, oh, you want a Pharaoh's boy. Watch my magic. I throw out my rod. Allahu Akbar. So why have I chosen this subject for today? Because the problem in education is the separation of the intellect from the original nature of the human being. That's the problem of education in the world. And if we can understand the revelation of God and come again to reconcile our rational processes, intellectual
process with what Allah has revealed in the Quran, we will be safe.
That's right.
We will be on sound grounds. We will progress, and there will be no limit. No limit. Allah says in the Quran that He has made subservient to you whatever you see in the skies and on earth. And there was a race when God revealed this immediately, almost instantly. There began a race to get what God said is possible for the intellect. And the wicked went out because they got a hearing. The wicked went out to get it. And the righteous went out to get it. The wicked got ahead of the righteous. Because the righteous are not greedy. The righteous get so much and they're satisfied. They're not greedy. So the righteous get so much, that's the end of it. Say, oh, why don't you build a steel skyscraper? Say, you build a wood, a brick one, a stone one. Say, now build a steel one. Say, for what? Oh, just because the possibility is there. This is the wicked, right? The wicked say, oh, just because the possibility is there. Build a steel skyscraper now. So the righteous saying, no, I don't have no taste to live in no steel skyscraper. So we're satisfied with what we got. The righteous, the wicked now, runs up a steel skyscraper. And the people of the world look at the righteous and look at the wicked. They say, boy, oh boy, the wicked is bad. So eventually the wicked charmed the people of the earth with their marvelous feats. Yes. Now, what the righteous forgot was this, that you are at war with the wicked. You're not supposed to let the wicked perform his magic before the babies of the world, and don't come out and say, babies, watch this. Excuse me, I start to say something that's unfit for the khutbah. You're supposed to come out and defend the human form against the attempts of the wicked to distort that form or take it out of its nature. And the righteous have not been on their job to defend the innocence of the human being, from the magic of the wicked world. You have to be foremost in the sciences, so you can anticipate his move before he makes it, and tell the world, be careful, here's what's coming, and this little worm intend to bring your image down, intend to bring your dignified nature down. So watch out for him. Here is what he's doing. Inform the world. Stay into the battle. Stay into the battle. The Muslims dropped out of the war. They dropped out of the battle.
That's right.
They accepted the mentality that the Bible gives the people. That wickedness have a time. And the God don't even want you to interrupt what it's doing. Because that's God ordained that the wicked should do those things. No, that's not the Quran.
That's
the Bible's mentality. That's not the Quran. We don't believe that any wrong is ordained.
Right.
Only right is ordained.
Allahu Akbar.
Praise be to Allah. So I hope that now we see better. The great authors of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. He is all of them wrapped up into one. And then more. Because he has received the guidance from Allah for all time. That means his mission goes further than the mission of Ibrahim Hanifa, peace be on him. His mission goes further than the Prophet Abraham. Because Prophet Abraham was just a sign of the Passover. The Passover from one kind of orientation into another kind of orientation that will enable the freedom of the intellect, the free growth of the intellect. All right? Now, Prophet Muhammad, he comes now with the final phase of it. And what is that phase? The correct application, the correct implementation of the knowledge. That wasn't given to the prophets before. That was only given to Prophet Muhammad. So if you want to know how to apply the revelation, the word of Allah, and how to implement it in the world, in the whole life of the human being, for the whole possibilities of the human life, you can't follow any prophet but Prophet Muhammad. He is the only one that makes that possible for us. No scholar in the world, no scientist in the world, no mujaddid, nothing that's coming will ever change that fact. Whatever comes, it must point back to that fact. If he has any credentials at all, he will point back to that fact, that Prophet Muhammad is the concept for the full expression of all that God has locked up in the human nature. In the right way. There's a wrong way and a right way. Now, I mentioned earlier that Bilal also typifies, or he's a sign of the Messiah. Yes. Bilal represents the heart factor, the human heart factor. Prophet Muhammad represents the intellect. And many of us don't understand how Bilal can go into the garden ahead of Prophet Muhammad. It only means that your heart must be approved first. And Bilal is just a symbol of the heart of Prophet Muhammad. That's all. He symbolizes the heart of Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad had his own heart. But Bilal was used as a sign of the heart of Prophet Muhammad. He was sincere. He had no design on the world. He had no attachment to the worldly things. He was merely trying to survive and be as good as he can until his time was up on earth. And when the truth came, he realized that his voluntary induction into slavery was sinful. So he said, no, this is wrong. I thought it was all right. I thought it was all right to work for a man that has more power. He gives me living. He allows me to exist. And I give him a service. But now this prophet from God says that this is slavery. That I'm only the servant of Allah. And I have given myself into a servitude that's not befitting my nature. So he said, I'm sorry, Master. Sir, you know I don't have nothing against you personally. I've been obliging you all these years. But now, no. One Lord. And his master tried to change his mind by heaping misery into his life, right? He refused it. No. He said, I'll even die. He said, God, do what you want to do. One Lord. Allah. The heart, when it's right, oh, it's strong. The intellect is not strong without the strength of the heart. The intellect will do what is expedient. Can't you understand again what the crucifixion or the killing of Christ is, or his prophet? They say, the book says, it is expedient that I go away. Meaning that the principle of expedience suppress the heart. Suppress the right tendencies in the heart. It is expedience that I go away, you see? So this expedience is the principle of the intellect. The heart has a different expedience. The heart says it is expedience that everything else go away. In order that I may retain my righteousness. But the intellect, without the soundness of the heart, the intellect says, it's expedient that my righteousness go away, that I may survive. Isn't that the principle that the world operates on? It is expedient that my righteousness go away, that my flesh may live on. But the Muslim says, Allahu Akbar. Come on, kill us. We're happy. We want to go fast to heaven. But now, in the process, remember that you may go faster to hell than we go to heaven. Allahu Akbar. This is a Muslim. Praise be to Allah. Now, look like I have gone over the time. We pray Allah's guidance stay on us, that it stay with us. We pray that our hearts yield for Allah's sake, come away from the attachments of the world, and attach ourselves, our hearts that is, only to Allah, to His Messenger, to the Quran, and whatever is established by those. We pray the blessings of Allah be with us, that He forgive us for our sins, that He guide our hearts and save our hearts from deviating after guidance. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. Keep safe the promise that you made to him and fulfill it in his followers. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Peace and blessings upon the Prophet, upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous servants, all of them, and upon the believing people here and throughout the world. Ameen. Dear beloved Muslims, we have an obligation to live the Muslim life as it is presented in the Quran and as it was demonstrated in the life of Prophet Muhammad, in the life of his excellent companions. Peace be upon the Prophet, and may Allah be pleased with the servant. Dear beloved Muslims, you're making an effort now that's perhaps greater than most of us can imagine. And it is so because it is an independent effort.